of an area as a winter wildlife habitat area. And unquestionably, there are areas that are wonderfully well suited to wildlife calving and wintering. And everybody knows that studies wildlife, they absolutely have to have hiding cover and shelter from inclement weather, just as anybody else would in that circumstance. They also have to have proper feed, escape ament area so they can get away from predators, etc. Unfortunately, the designation of winter wildlife habitat areas or special calving areas virtually precludes any other form of management or can in those areas. And some of the designations have caused significant hardship on landowners who had planned on building homes in the area, or who, in one case I know of over in Crook County, there's been ongoing negotiations to resolve a pre-existing subdivision that existed long before Senate Bill 100 and was platted and recorded, and part of the land even had come back to the county for non-payment of taxes and then been resold by the county as housing lots, which is now subject to some concern and renegotiation because of the density there. There's 500 lots in a subdivision that arguably could not be approved under today's rather restrictive land use designations. Right in the middle of those discussions, the Department of Fish and Wildlife designated the area as winter wildlife habitat for big game and seriously complicated the issues. And the fact is that you can literally go from there to the California border through that area, south, directly south of the Prineville area, and you're going to find an awful lot of deer and elk habitat. There's nothing that distinguishes this area from, you know, any of the other areas in that county as far as big game habitat's concerned. So I was wondering, you know, on what basis does the department make its designation of winter wildlife habitat set-asides? And, you know, what's the scientific basis and what are the opportunities for the local community members and local government, elected public officials to engage in a discussion with the department rather than just having the department's wildlife biologists submit a report and assume that that's going to be all that's necessary for the designation of these areas.
Mr. Buckner.
Chair Morgan, Senator Farioli. Dave McAllister of our Habitat Division, when he comes up later, you might want to ask this question again, but our habitat or our biologists are providing information to planning and zoning boards when asked on critical winter habitat. And of course that's going to be on a case-by-case basis, and they're using the patterns that they know of that these animals are using and whether or not the animals are using a particular area as winter habitat and whether or not there are any alternative areas for the animals. So it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. But I realize it is a problem.
Madam Chairman, if somebody decides they don't like a zoning decision that's pending, they can essentially play a trump card by asking for an opinion on whether or not the area is suitable for winter wildlife habitat for big game. And if the wildlife biologist can be convinced or agrees, I don't know of a planning or zoning ordinance that can overcome a winter wildlife habitat designation. It doesn't happen. So it's an effective trump card played by one state agency that is essentially can overturn all other planning and zoning ordinances in Oregon.
Is the designation a subset of the State Endangered Species Act, or is it an entity unto itself?
As far as I know, Madam Chairman, it has only to do with the administrative rules of the department and its legislatively authorized function, which is to protect wildlife. So in the name of protecting wildlife, it's taken itself the responsibility to designate habitat areas.
Madam Chair.
I'm curious about what the process is then to undesignate. Is there such a process?
Chair Morgan, again, Dave McAllister can provide a lot more information, but I think our staff just acts in an advisory capacity. And any of the rules that are formulated then come from those planning and zoning boards and not from our agency. At least that's my understanding.
Madam Chairman, that's correct, but the fact of the matter is I don't know any planner that will argue with a wildlife biologist. If a wildlife biologist suggests that there's a problem there, I don't know of any planner who is, first of all, educated or certified to argue the point. As a wildlife biologist, they're not. They're planners. And I don't know of any planner who will recommend to the zoning authority that people should build houses in the middle of designated wildlife habitat. It isn't going to happen. And it doesn't happen. So I'll defer my questions. I respect the issue there will be other folks that come before the committee that have better expertise and can walk us through that process. But I've seen this two or three times now, and it can be very frustrating for folks. Some folks absolutely love the idea that the agency's designated wildlife habitat because they feel that it increases the value of their property, and they want walkable wildlife, and they support the goals and objectives of wildlife conservation and habitat conservation, and it's simply not a problem. But not all landowners are alike. If you had bought a piece of property that fit the zoning requirements, the minimum parcel size, and was in an area approved for a dwelling, and had submitted your permit application and had the fee collected and were well down the road with your building plans, only to be told that your house is going to be in an area designated as winter wildlife habitat for a big game, and therefore told you couldn't build your house there, you'd be pretty unhappy. And, you know, as far as I know, no local jurisdiction will authorize building in winter wildlife habitat.
Chair Morgan, possibly when we review the Habitat Division program, I can have a full systematic chart of the different steps that are followed to designate a winter wildlife area in a county zoning area.
That would be helpful. I have another question. During the interim, the commission commissioned a management study of the agency. And I believe that one of the recommendations that came out of that report had to do with merging the habitat program that was within the Wildlife Division with the Habitat Division itself. And can you talk to us about what's been done in terms of implementing that recommendation, or what the attitude is within the agency right now in dealing with that recommendation in the report?
Chair Morgan, I may not be the one to discuss the attitude in the agency towards that particular move because I'm just one part of that. But generally, our Habitat Division provides overall statewide guidance and continuity for habitat programs. They're working with cost share programs, the federal programs. They're working with soil and water boards on a high level as far as habitat is concerned. Our biologists in Wildlife Division are more on the ground working with individual landowners on a one-on-one basis. And they collaborate with the Habitat Division and bring them in when there are big issues, issues having to do with federal cost share programs, and they're more working together than they are any kind of a duplicative effort. And at this point, that's kind of where we are.
Why are they in separate parts of the Natural Resource Division then? Why is that they're a piece of the habitat program in the Wildlife Division and then a separate habitat division? Why aren't they combined together under the Habitat Division?
I can let Dave McAllister talk more about that level of division, but once again, our biologists are working on the ground with individual landowners, and they may be working on damage and habitat and a whole host of issues rolled together. Whereas that habitat biologist would probably not be doing that. They would probably be working on a higher level and with the soil and water boards rather than with just one person. It's more of a policy setting issue within the agency rather than carrying out a project.
So would it be correct then to say that the Habitat Division is dealing with issues on a policy level?
Generally,
whereas
yes.
The Wildlife Division Habitat Program is dealing with on the ground part of the program?
Chair Morgan, that's correct.
Representative Krupp.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I wanted to echo Senator Farioli's concerns about critical wildlife habitat for critical winter range designation by one of your wildlife biologists. Last session, we passed a bill that allows youth camps to be built specifically under certain conditions in forest lands. And the only proposal that has been brought forward was originally turned down by the Crook County Commission because of critical wildlife habitat designation. And since then, it's been modified to the place that this organization will be allowed to operate, but only during certain months of the year because of big game winter range designation by one of your biologists. I think you really, really need to be careful with your biologists, and unfortunately they're put in this position, and I understand that. And maybe you need to sit down as an agency and rethink this, because you can, in fact, as Senator Farioli says, you can and have trumped a local land use planning decision by the designation of critical winter range for big game. And you're not a land use agency, but yet your effect is such as that by that designation. I would really encourage you to look at that and talk about that as a matter of staff and policy within the agency, because it will undoubtedly come up again and have significant impact. Thank you.
So if I might just clarify for myself, the designation of critical habitat is a function of the habitat program that's within the Wildlife Division?
Chair Morgan, I think that in the field, when an issue comes up on critical habitat, our staff in the Wildlife Division, who are keeping track of big game programs, are working with the biologist, the habitat biologist, in coming up with a recommendation to these county zoning boards. But once again, I'm going to have to go back and clarify that, because I'm not real sure just exactly how they work in concert when it comes to making recommendations to these planning and zoning boards.
I understand that you haven't been in your position for a very long period of time. Can you tell us when you took the position?
Chair Morgan, I came into Wildlife Division from another state wildlife agency in Missouri about 2.5 years ago as the Assistant Wildlife Division Director. I assumed both roles then at the retirement of the Division Director almost a year ago. And then in January, I was appointed to the Division Director's job.
And what was the position that you held when you joined the department 2.5 years ago?
I worked for the Missouri Conservation Department. I had for about 20 years.
But you came to Oregon 2.5 years ago?
Yes, from Missouri.
And joined the ODFW at that time?
Yes.
And what was your position at that time when you joined ODFW?
I was the Assistant Wildlife Division Chief.
Oh, thank you. Representative Hayden.
Well, I've spent some time in Missouri, married a Missouri girl. My kids are great hunters, and they've hunted a lot in Missouri. And they tell me most of that is private land, not state-owned or federal-owned, that they, in fact, have to hunt on farmers' woodlots there. Now, in Oregon, according to the latest Blue Book, about 57% of the state is federal-owned, 3% is state-owned. I don't know how much is owned by cities and counties, but some small number there. I'm surprised to hear that we have wildlife habitat management on private property here. I presume if this wildlife management area were on federal property, nobody would care, but apparently it's on private property so that people can't build. Is that correct? And if so, why are we doing that? And how much land mass are we essentially condemning without compensation by doing that?
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden. We're working with both public land managers and private land managers. We're providing advice to federal land managers on managing their winter ranges also, but they have their own biologists too. but we're responsible for managing those herds. But private land ownership is a patchwork throughout the state, and in many cases, the more fertile land, the land that can be irrigated, will raise alfalfa, is also the land that deer and elk historically used as their winter ranges. And so these herds are migrating from public lands to private land, and invariably sometime during the year, these herds have moved off of public land and onto private land, and there is where we end up with the problem and the conflict. So that's why we're involved in working with so many private landowners.
But, Madam Chair, but it sounds like you're laying this very strictly regimented overlay across private lands. If private lands are a patchwork, aren't your habitat management areas patchworks also? Because it seems to me the animals would move to the places where they would find the most receptive conditions.
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, I'm not so sure I follow you there. If you're back on the zoning, if you're referring to the designation of critical habitat?
My concern would be, as over 60% of the state is already in public holdings, why can't these wildlife habitat areas be largely or exclusively or largely on public lands? And if they are on private lands and it causes a downzoning so that people can't build or farm or whatever, well, isn't that a condemnation? Why aren't they compensated?
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, once again, our staff is being called in an advisory capacity to these planning and zoning boards to make recommendations on critical habitat. We don't have any real control over where these animals are going to move, except with sometimes we have deflection fences, sometimes we can go out and plant lure crops to try to keep wildlife off of private land. But they have traditional wintering areas, and that's where they're going to. Sometimes they'll go there even when the food's not there. They're just going to go because they've traditionally moved there. And then when that's on private land, zoning boards are coming to us and saying, is this critical winter habitat? And if it is, then we're saying, yes, it is.
Well, Madam Chair, well, that's all well and good. And does somebody then say to Farmer Brown, you can't build a barn there, you can't build a farmhouse, and here's your check for $872,000.
Chair Morgan, Representative Hayden, we're not to that point, at least not yet, to where we're providing compensation. And I know that that has been an issue in this legislature and a number of other legislatures across the country for a long time.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, I think the other issue that's becoming increasingly apparent here is that the fact that it's habitat for a big game or whatever game doesn't really have much to do with whether there's a barn and a house on it, that all that seems to go on anyway, and that the animals will just go to the field and start eating.
Well, Madam Chair, that was sort of the subject of our first hour discussion, that you couldn't keep them off anyway, you know. So it doesn't seem to matter much if you build a house or a barn there. They're going to come anyway. If you build it, they will come.
Well, Madam Chair, I got to tell you, they sure love my mom's garden. They're 5 miles outside of Prineville up on the side of the hill, and that's critical. It's critical winter range habitat for elk, and they love it. And she's got a great big heavy-duty fence to keep them out, so I... And whenever I stay over there in the mornings, invariably I see big herds of either elk or deer moving through the area almost every single morning. They're very comfortable in amongst people. So,
I want to go back for a minute to the KLM report, the consultants' report that was commissioned by the ODFW commissioners. Have any of the recommendations of that report, to your knowledge, been implemented in the habitat program?
Chair Morgan, I would have to go back. I didn't come today prepared to talk about that particular report, and I would have to go back and review. There were 43 of those recommendations, and we were on the road to implementing a number of those, but I couldn't sit here today and outline those.
Well, Madam Chair, along the lines of to the director, are we going to have an update on the implementation of the consultant's report?
Chair Morgan, Representative Krupp, we certainly can do that if you'd like. Chair's choice.
Madam Chair, I would like to ask the Chair to request that of the agency. We have a there are quite a few freshman members who were not here last session and didn't understand or don't simply aren't aware of what the AKT consultants report recommended. And I think it would be worthwhile if we were to get an update of that.
I think that's an excellent point, Representative Krupp. It was a report that was eagerly anticipated by, I think, members of the legislature that were working in the interim with the department and certainly members of the ODF&W Commission. And there was a great deal of weight put on the recommendations of the report and a clear intent, from my recollection, on the part of the Commission to implement the recommendations of the report. And I think that to have an update as part of the budget process on that would be very informative to the members. Senator.
Madam Chair, I think there was a particular designee in the department that was put in charge of that program. Perhaps you'd like to bring that person forward to explain the recommendations.
I will leave that at the discretion of the director.
Oh, you checked them. Madam Chair, thank you.
Are there further questions or comments? Representative Lowe, were you raising your hand to ask a question?
No, I'm not going to ask a question right now. Thank you, though. I appreciate the opportunity.
What I'm going to do then, Mr. Buckner, would you like to make any closing comments or statements about the Habitat program?
Madam Chair, I think I'm probably going to give you all the information I have.
Okay. What I'll do then is close the public hearing. We have an afternoon floor session on the House side that starts at 3 o'clock, and I'm sure that the members would appreciate a few minutes to get themselves organized. And what we'll do then is, Mr. Rocco, could you tell us what we're going to be up to tomorrow?
Madam Chair, I believe we'll get into the Fish Division, and that could take most of the day. If not, there's the Habitat Division administration and enforcement activities that still need to be discussed, as well as the update on this report, which will take most of tomorrow and Thursday. There will be no meeting on Friday, and then we intend to have public testimony early next week.
Questions or comments on the schedule? And no further business before the committee today. The meeting is adjourned. I'm sorry.
That's okay.